It's 1859, the podcast that last happened so long ago that it was almost like the year 1859.
Welcome to episode number 12 on Florida.
You can't prove that it's episode 12.
I just did. I just went to the website and saw that the last one was episode 11.
I have to believe it's the 14th episode. I have to believe it.
Why do you insist on the 14th?
Well, it's the 14th.
Okay, but how do they know that? Maybe it's the 12th. You can't prove that it's the 14th.
True, so true. I have one word for you today, Mike.
And that is?
Colonoscopy.
Oh, no. Wait, is that happening today or tomorrow?
Friday morning. I'm proud to reveal here to our national audience.
To our national audience of 10.
That I'm of the age, that the podcast is staffed by people who are of the age that they have to have their half century colonoscopy. Do you know that that when you have a colonoscopy, they give you the drug that Michael Jackson died of?
No. What's the name of that drug?
I can't remember what it's called. I'll have to look it up on our special 1859 research aid.
Microfiche. Yeah. 1859 exactly. Microfiche.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some like twilight, semi-unconscious general anesthetic.
So, why are we talking about colonoscopies, though, I guess, is what is the theme of today's podcast?
Florida.
And there's a lot of people who are past mid-century that live in Florida. There's a lot precisely of colonoscopies going
that
on in Florida.
That is precisely the connection.
I like it.
A lot of colonoscopies.
And this is where I should point out that we have a guest here with us right now who is from Florida.
Oh my gosh.
That's Sarah me. Gerard. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I didn't realize you were actually from Florida.
That's why I'm here. I might also add that if you were to take a plaster cast of the inside of a colon, it would look a lot like Florida.
1859.
Wait, where are you from in Florida exactly?
I'm from Tampa Bay. So.
Oh, wow. Home of death metal. Did you hear a lot of death metal when you were growing up in Tampa Bay?
I hung outside the local theater when I was in high school, and there was a lot of death metal going on. Growing up in Florida, being a teenager in Florida, I think is a really special thing. And I grew up in a town that was not so interesting as a teenager, and in Florida you need a car to do anything interesting, so finally when I got a car, I said I'm going to go hang out in St. Petersburg, which is about 45 minutes south of where I grew up, in Largo. And I would hang out in this coffee shop called The Globe, which has since closed, and it's where all the bohemian kids hung out, and over time I developed a crush on a guy that worked there, whose name was Joe. And Joe ran the local chapter of Food Not Bombs, which is a decentralized organization that uses food that would otherwise go to waste, like food that you've dumpster dived or that has been donated, like it's like very recently expired, past its expiration date, but is still edible, and gives it to people who would otherwise go hungry. So Joe and I and some other members of this chapter, one of whom was called the professor, although I don't think he was actually a professor, he just like was bald and wore glasses, would dumpster dive this food, and then we would prepare it in Joe's apartment. And because I had a car, I'd be the one to drive us down to the park. And this one day, Joe and I started dating sort of unofficially. I brought this girl who was actually the one and only girlfriend I'd ever had over to this somewhat boyfriend's house. Her name was Natasha, Joe's house. And we shucked corn in his living room into a pot, and we made what we called goulash. It was just sort of like a, you know, whatever, mixture of whatever food we could. It was like whatever we could gather. Like I had stolen some cans from my parents' pantry, and we just threw it all together, and we drove to the park. And we served up our food, and one of the homeless people, I remember, complained that it didn't have any spice to it. And
1859.
It was like the middle of a Sunday, so Floridian kids, you know, whenever you have free time, of which you have a lot, you go to the beach because it's free and you don't have to wear clothes there. And it's hot and you're all poor, so you go to the beach. And we're driving to the beach, and we have my friend Joe, and we have Joe, my boyfriend, in the back seat, and Tasha, my girlfriend, in the front seat, and Joe's roommate and his girlfriend in the back seat as well. So there are five of us in the car, and we have a lot of leftover food and some orange soda that somebody's drinking in the back, and like some Pepsi on the other side. We have lots of open food in the car. And we're driving and having recently acquired this car and being a reckless 16-year-old, I didn't really know what was safe. And I started playing with the wheel, sort of swerving back and forth on the road. There's nobody else really on the road. And it's like a Sunday, so, you know, none of the businesses are open, which figures in later on. And I lost control of the, I swerved too hard to the right, and I lost control of the car. And all of our windows are down, and, you know, you hear people going, oh, man, like on the sidewalk. And I lost control, and I cut the wheel back to the left really quickly, and I did this a few times, which is what you're not supposed to do. And pretty soon I'm on two wheels to the right, and I'm on two wheels to the left, and we're screaming, and people on the sidewalks are screaming. And we go careening into the front yard of a doctor's office, which, thank God, was closed, and over a row of bushes. And so there are bushes flying in the window. And then we ricochet off of a low wall of the adjacent business and into the parking lot. So now I have one wheel that's functional, one wheel. And the front bumper of my car has sliced open the other wheel. And there's a gaping hole in the side of the car. It's like 2 feet long. And we all get out of the car and we're like stunned. And we looked at each other and we just started laughing, like, oh my God, we narrowly escaped a death, all five of us. And there's orange soda in my hair, and there's Pepsi all over the inside of the car, and like goulash. And Joe, being heroic, changed one of the tires, but I still have two tires that don't work. And they all walked home. We hadn't gone very far, but Natasha lived in Tampa, which is about an hour north of where we were. So how is she going to get home? And so Natasha's father was a very scary Turkish man who didn't know that she was a lesbian. And we had to, we sort of hobbled the car down the road to a gas station. And we're just sitting there going, oh my God, what are we going to do? We light cigarettes in the gas station, also what you're not supposed to do. And we sit in the back of the car, like sort of, you know, we're like deliberating. And we finally decided, well, we faced the fact that I couldn't drive her home. So we would have to call her scary Turkish father to come pick her up and ourself in St. Petersburg. And he would then figure out somehow, you know, that we were dating. And that was the last time that we ever hung out because I couldn't go and see her anymore.
1859. Mike, I know you're passionate about the SunPass situation. So what's up with that SunPass thing anyway?
So here's the deal with the SunPass, just for those who don't know. It's a, I guess, private highway system that requires you to have an electronic device attached to your car, just like any other modern,
like an EasyPass.
EasyPass, any modern highway system device. However, the problem is there is not even an option at the toll plazas for a human that you can actually give real money to. So for those of us who don't live in Florida and don't have the SunPass and are in a rental car, you don't even realize it. And you go through this thing and the next thing you know, you have a $50 bill from your car rental company because they have it worked out with EasyPass so that they get this, what should have been a 20-cent bill, and they charge you $50 for deferring it to you from, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
It's complete racket. Bullshit. It's complete bullshit.
1859.
Mary Roach is in the house. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Michael.
Thanks for coming all the way from Oakland just to do this podcast.
I did. I flew all the way out on an expensive ticket just to do your podcast.
We don't mess around here at 1859. No.
Because I know it's really good publicity. I know you have a really, really big audience and a lot of influential people will be listening.
Our pockets are deep. You told me recently that you had a colonoscopy without anesthesia, which I found fascinating.
I did. People can't believe this. There's this whole sense that you don't ever want to get a colonoscopy without drugs because it's incredibly painful. Because I'm, you know, for gulp.
Sure.
I was
this
interested.
This is your next book.
This is the next book. And
publicity.
I thought, okay, how many opportunities do you get to travel?
Have a colonoscopy.
No, you have plenty of opportunities for that. But to, as it were, sightsee inside your own intestines.
Right.
It's your intestines, and you never get to see what they look like. So I thought, particularly because of the book, I thought, well, I should go along on this little adventure, and I should watch as it unfolds and see my own colon, to see your own colon. So I thought it was a good idea, and I told, I didn't tell them in advance. I told, I have to say right up front, okay, my doctor's name, and I'm not, this is absolutely true. absolutely true. My doctor, the doctor who did my colonoscopy, his name is Dr. Turdeman. Jonathan Turdeman. No. Jonathan Turdeman.
That's amazing.
And he goes,
I hope that's in the book.
Of course it's in the book. He goes, at one point he's explaining the procedure. He said, do you have any more questions? And I said, I just have one more question. How many times a day do people make jokes about your name? And he was absolutely deadpan. He goes, what do you mean?
1859.
So Dr. Turdeman said, you want to do it without drugs? Okay. He said, I'd say maybe one in 50 people request this. He kind of looked at me like, whatever your problem is, that's fine. We'll do it. And so, yeah, there's two drugs. Versed is the twilight sleep thing where you're awake, but you don't remember anything. And then there's just a painkiller. So I could have done it just with the painkiller, and that would have been the smart thing.
Now, some people say it's not painful at all.
No, it's not. It depends on how big you are. if you have a lot of room for your guts to spread out, relax, put their feet up, then it isn't. I'm skinny. I have a little skinny, scrawny, not a lot of room in there. So your guts are all balled up and scrunched together. So there's a lot of corners to go around.
So can you be a small person with a large colon?
Sure, you could be a small...
So it's not necessarily if your person is small.
It's your person. Okay. Because your guts are crammed in.
I see, okay.
And the pain comes from going around bends.
So someone like Dick Butkus is not going to feel as much pain as...
Dick Butkus has just the pain of his name. He doesn't have... He well, that's wouldn't right. even...
Pick that name. You know.
Yeah.
He's designed for colonoscopies.
He doesn't even notice when that thing goes in. No. If you're a big guy, there's no pain. There's a study. I saw a study where they asked people to rate the amount of pain. Anyway, so and in Europe, people don't get drugs. They do it the way I did it. They're like, big deal. They have the drugs ready to go if you really want
them. Well, getting anesthesia is a pain.
No, I know.
A pain in the ass.
Americans are pussies. They need to be put under. They want all... But apparently the drugs are a lot of fun. So next time, I guess I'll probably do the...
So, can you validate that Michael Jackson died from the drugs that were used for colonoscopies? Or
the drug is Versed, that, as far as I know, for
isn't
colonoscopies.
That a castle outside of Paris?
The smaller one, Versed.
The smaller castle.
Yeah, the smaller castle.
Yeah. Where they do colonoscopies.
Where they do the king's.
Without anesthesia for French people.
Yeah. The king's staff has to go there for their colonoscopy.
Okay, well,
I don't remember Michael Jackson's drug being Versed, but
I have no idea.
I don't want to contradict Rick Moody.
Well, once again, it's all a matter of just going into the 1859 microfiche to find out the answer, which we will do after this airs.
People want to know.
They will.
1859.
So, but the real reason we're here is not really for colonoscopies. It's to talk about Florida, because that is the subject of today's 1859 podcast. You've spent some time in Florida. Tell me about Florida. What do you know about Florida?
Well, I have spent time in Florida, but I spend most of it in a little seniors housing development that my in-laws live in. So I don't spend a lot of time traveling around. And as long as I've lived, there are two things I've always wanted to do in Florida. The Wiki Watchy Mermaids in Kissimmee.
Okay.
And the Roseate Spoonbills, which are down the Everglades. And I've been married to this same man for 15 years. We go down to Florida for... twice a year, and I've never managed to do either. Nobody wants to go with me to the Wiki. And now the Wiki Watchy Mermaids have closed. The Spoonbills are probably extinct. I have no idea. Those are the two things.
Microfiche.
We'll find out. One time I dragged everybody down to the Everglades to see the Roseate Spoonbills, but as we got there, they had just flown, all of them en masse, flown off to the other island off wherever the hell they go. So we missed them. But... my Florida story is not actually a personal experience. It is something that I came across when I was working on Gulp, and it's this amazing photograph of a python with an alligator protruding from it, and it was this photograph. It prompted a lot of speculation as to what had happened. A lot of people thought the python burst as it was eating the alligator. So the python can actually expand to eat an alligator. And there was a lot of conjecture. National Geographic actually sent someone down. They did an entire hour-long program on this just kind of revolting combination python-alligator grotesquery that was lying in the swamps. And I met the guy who went down to do the forensics on the grotesque alligator python thing. So I know what actually happened. I wish we could somehow see. I wish everybody could see this. It's a picture of python, and about two-thirds of the way down, it suddenly exploded, and an alligator is sticking out. The tail of an alligator, the back half of an alligator, is sticking out of the python.
Chances are, if you're listening to this, you are looking at the thumbnail at right now. So
you can just Google alligator python Florida Everglade burst. Michael Jackson. And I hope that python had some Versed and Demerol.
1859. Drugs present in Michael Jackson's body at time of decease. Propofol. Lorazepam. Diazepam. Ephedrine. Lidocaine.
But anyway, the forensics guy figured out that in fact what had happened, because a python will not burst. Okay, a python can take an alligator and digest it. A python can digest a kangaroo, an impala. It's no problem. Oh, okay. Whatever. Just I can take it.
That's amazing.
So he knew that it wasn't a bursting issue. There was a previous fight with there was another alligator that had injured the python, and there was a not fully healed wound. And then another alligator came along as the python is digesting. There are three alligators, one python. Anyway, incompletely healed wound, a fight, the other one pops out. Anyway, it's very complicated. But the point of the story, the moral of the story is that the python did not burst.
I thought of a fun thing to do since Rick Moody is not here and he abandoned us to have Thanksgiving with his family. I think we should let him ask a question, but he doesn't know what that question is, and you should just give the answer and then have to figure out what the question is, and we will add him to this asking the question.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Okay.
What is the quickest route between Miami and Tampa in heavy traffic?
Approximately 4 liters if you're dead. 1859.
So here, there's lots of famous people who live in Florida. Here are a few of them. Larry Bird.
Jennifer Capriati.
David Caruso.
Sean P. Diddy Combs.
David Cassidy.
Matt Damon.
Hulk Hogan.
Celine Dion.
Mike Ditka.
Stephen King.
Joey Fatone.
Gloria Estefan.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Beyonce Knowles.
Martina Hingis.
Donald Trump.
Oprah Winfrey.
Iggy Pop. Olivia Newton-John.
Ooh, Timbaland.
Derek Jeter.
Julia Roberts.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
You should read like four now, Rick.
Nick Cage. John Cicada. Timbaland. Julia Roberts.
Jennifer Lopez.
Missy Elliott.
Andy Garcia.
Chuck Norris.
Dennis Rodman.
Sylvester Stallone.
Okay, that's enough.
1859 is produced by Michael Hurst and Rick Moody. Our guests on this episode were Sarah Gerard and Mary Roach. Leaving Florida, take a developer.